Back in May, before I had concluded my time at Summit, I met with Pastor Joe. He was in Abbotsford. We were at the Bible College. He was there for a little conference, and so we had coffee together in the library and had a wonderful conversation, and I said, guess what? We're moving, and we're going to be at your church for the summer. And he said, no way. And then his immediate response was, do you want to preach? And I said, sure, when? He's like, I'm on holidays at the end of August, and I need some help. And I said, absolutely, I would love to. It would be a great, great blessing. So here we are. It's now the end of August. And I had asked him, is there anything specific that you would like me to preach on? And he said, his policy for guest speakers is he just lets them preach on what they want to. And I said, wow, that's really kind. I can preach on anything I want to in this moment. And so I asked Rebecca, but wouldn't it be so great, because we've been here for the summer, that we join in on the series that's been happening this summer, right? The Lost Art of Wisdom. It's a great series, yeah. So I said, can I join in? Is that all right if I join you and Pastor Kaylee in your series for what's taking place this summer? And he said, of course, just don't preach on what I'm preaching. And I said, okay, deal. And so I shared with them the scripture in which that I was going to preach through this morning. But before I did that, as a good husband would, I turned to my wife and I said, okay, so Joe said I can preach through the series. What should I preach on? Do you have anything specific that you think that would be applicable for this summer, for this church family, for ourselves, on what to preach on? And so she was reading through and skimming through, and then one evening she said, hey, I found a scripture verse that is perfect for you to preach on. And I said, oh, wow, that's wonderful. And I'm getting all excited about the fact that here's a scripture verse that she thinks is very applicable to me as I preach this sermon. And I also know that when there's a scripture passage that's meaningful or personal or very applicable, often it can come through in the sermon, right? And so I thought, this is wonderful. So she told me the passage. It's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2. And it opens up in my ESV Bible. It says this: surely I am too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding. Really? This is what you were saying is applicable to me. Okay. So I thought, maybe the ESV translation's a little harsh. Maybe I should move to the NIV. Maybe it's a bit softer of a touch. It says, surely I am only a brute. Okay. I am only a brute. Okay, I get the point. And surely she was just kidding. But yet, for some reason, I continued on. So I don't think she fully missed the point there. I read it and thought, maybe this is applicable. And as I continued, I thought, wow, actually, chapter 30 is a pretty special chapter in the book of Proverbs. And there's something very meaningful that hit me as I read through it and we read through it together. First off, before we get into it, it's written by a man named Agur, A-G-U-R. And it is the only time in Scripture that he is mentioned. His prayer, his oracle, is what it is titled as in the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And he asks a series of questions to begin his prayer. He says, has anyone gone up to heaven and back down? Who has gathered up the wind? Who has wrapped the waters in a cloak? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is the name of his son? And I thought, wow. As I was reflecting on this series that Pastor Joe and Pastor Kaylee have been working through, I thought, okay, with the lost art of wisdom, isn't that what Proverbs asks of us? Isn't that what wisdom asks of us? It asks questions of us. It forces us to also ask good questions. Should I or should I not? Is this wise or is this foolish? Is this healthy or will this destroy me? And I thought, okay, what wise prayers he is saying right now. He's humbling himself first off. I am not even a man, or I'm too stupid to be a man. I'm only a brute. But declares the holiness of God and asks these questions of who he is. He declares theology. He declares belief. He declares faith. He declares doctrine in his questions. And we too are to ask questions in our life, even through our prayer lives, through our relationships, through our circumstances. We ask ourselves questions. Should I or should I not? Should I, again, for the 1,000th time every evening, tell my children to brush their teeth? Should I do it in a stern way, or should I take a different approach, i.e., get their mother to do it? Should I pick up the sweater that I've had lying around on the chair that my wife gently asked me to do so? Or should I say, how about the baking ingredients that are left on the counter? I know the right answer is to pick up the sweater. Should I respond with frustration when a wedding photographer immediately after a ceremony says I look terrible in their photos? Or should I just take their maybe good-willed comment gently and softly and just move forward? Maybe this is a bit therapeutic for me as I'm getting things off of my chest. But we have to ask ourselves questions. The book of Proverbs asks of us and has us ask questions of ourselves, our relationships, our relationship with the Lord in work, in ministry, in life. It asks questions of us. So the lost art of wisdom could also be titled the lost art of asking good questions. And here we see Agur, near the end of Proverbs, ask a series of questions. But I want to focus specifically on verses 7 to verse 9. And would you stand with me as we read the Lord's word together? Proverbs 30, 7 to 9 says this: two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I might have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. Lord, speak to us. May our hearts be open to receive from you. And today, Lord, we desire to walk in wisdom. So we ask ourselves, and we ask of you to calm our souls, our spirits, our minds, so that we may receive from you. In your name, amen. So chapter 30 and chapter 31 of the book of Proverbs pose a few challenges in comparison to the rest of the book. The rest of the book written by King Solomon, these two chapters are not written by King Solomon. They're written by different individuals, Agur and Lemuel. And this is the only time in Scripture that we hear of their names. This is the only time in Scripture that we have anything written by them. And so there's lots of debate amongst scholars. They're non-Israelite names. They're non-Hebrew names, yet here they are found in the Hebrew book of Proverbs. Some speculate on the authorship that Agur is actually another name for Solomon, but many also disagree with that. Majority would disagree that it's just an assumed name of Solomon, that it is actually a completely separate person. And just like in the book of Psalms, where there's Psalms written other than David, there too are in Proverbs, Proverbs written by someone other than Solomon. The scripture was included in the biblical canon of the Hebrew book of Proverbs. Therefore, that is why it remains there today. But again, no background on Agur, except that he has a father named Jacob, and that is all that we know of him. So this prayer is really a burdened request, like an oracle spoken out in utterance, in humility, in request to the Lord. It's the only one of its kind in the entire book of Proverbs. And so we learn a bit about Agur's character in how he prays, in what he writes, and his requests to the Lord. It reflects his humility. In verse 3, he says, I have not learned wisdom. I have not attained knowledge of the Holy One. He has this humble posture of approach, the differentiating between himself and the divine God, the Holy One, the Hebrew God, Yahweh. I am but a man. I am only a brute. But you are the Holy One. I acknowledge that I don't know wisdom. I don't know you. I have not attained it. You are too great and far too holy to understand. He acknowledges his limitations. He acknowledges his inability to fully understand. So we see both the simplicity of his request, but the depth in which that he speaks of it. Two things I ask of you, Lord. First one is to keep falsehood and lies from me. So he desires a life of character. We see in his first request, keep falsehood and lies away from me. I desire character more than anything else, integrity more than anything else. He desires truth. Truth to be within him, truth to surround him, truth and understanding in all that he does. Falsehood and lies, keep them separate and away from me. I do not want to be deceived. I do not want to be cheated on. I do not want to be lied to. I want truth to prevail in all circumstances. He has an understanding that deception distorts our reality. Deception in relationships, deceptions in circumstances, even in our understanding of ourselves. We can lie to ourselves and think we are something that we are not, or think poorly of ourselves when we ought not to. And deception can also distort our relationship with the Lord when we don't have a true, full grasp, understanding of who he is, or we believe things of God that are not of his character, that are not of his nature that we see in Scripture. It distorts our reality and our relationship with the Lord. Keep falsehoods and lies away from me, O God. And how fitting in a world that we live in where there seems to be half-truths in almost any circumstance that you look or hear or see. Misinformation happens all the time, doesn't it? I think of one conversation that Rebecca and I have had with our family and with our friends. I don't mean to speak ill of this individual. During the Olympics, there was a lady who was doing a breakdancing competition. Maybe many of you saw or have heard lots that's gone on about this breakdancing competition. And she didn't score well, and it is what it is. She didn't do well in the sport. But there has been information that has come out that she's actually an instructor and did this on purpose to prove a point or to state something. And then people say, no, she did this on purpose. This was her, the way in which that she approached the competition, and this is what she did. And there's all this misinformation, and I don't actually know exactly what to believe at all. Did she mean to? Did she not mean to? Did all that kind of stuff. Is she a dance instructor? Is she not a dance instructor? I have no clue. Half-truths, misinformation, it happens all the time. We see it on social media all the time. We see it in the news all the time. The Olympics, that's half-hearted, that's light, but there's seriousness as well on the degrees with the politics, with our news, with our world. There's misinformation, half-truths given all the time. I don't know what to believe. I think you probably struggle with the same thing as I do. What is true and what is not true? Okay, there's an element of truth, but it's not full truth. Oh, Lord, keep falsehoods and lies away from me. And so how do we do that? How do we live a life where falsehood and lies and misinformation surrounds us? How are we not affected by it all the time? How can I keep my character in check and live a life of integrity day in and day out? Well, we need to surround ourselves with truth. We need to put ourselves in the protection of truth. We need to put ourselves in the security of truth. And that is only found here in God's word through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to, as Pastor Joe said a couple weeks ago, I really appreciated a sermon that he was speaking on, and he talked about the authority of God's word, that we aren't to come over top in the approach of looking at it and having God's word fit into our distorted reality. Rather, we are to go underneath the lordship and the authorship of Scripture and to say, Lord, protect me, guide me, lead me. I follow your will. I follow your ways, not my own. And when we make this request, Lord, keep falsehood and lies away from me. As we make this request to say, Lord, may your truth be the light, be the beacon and the guide in which that I live, then we are then protected by and led by truth. I know some eyes went over there to my wife and to my children. Please excuse them. We're very grateful they're in church, though, with all of us. Truth protects. This request, this desire for integrity and for character is also a request of protection. That Lord, your truth would keep us secure. That, Lord, your truth which surrounds me would actually protect me and shelter me from the misinformation and the truths, or the half-truths, that we receive in our world. O Lord, keep falsehoods and lies from me. That's his first request. His second request is, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. First, he requests for character. Second, he requests for contentment. To be content in what the Lord provides in his life every single day. Who here knows that that is a daily struggle that we all walk in our journey, in our faith with the Lord? That is one that my wife, Rebecca, and I are walking more into today than I say ever before in our entire life and in our marriage together. This prayer of Eggers is a prayer of submission. This prayer of Eggers is a prayer of stability. He does not seek wealth. He also does not seek to live without. It's the extremes on both ends. Oh, the dangers of it, Lord, please keep them from me. Where his needs would be met and the Lord's provisions would be enough. It's a prayer of dependency, right? It's a prayer of trust. Lord, I trust in you for what is to come. It's contentment, it's trust, it's dependency, while steering clear of the dangers that we may face on both extremes of poverty or riches. So this request that Egger makes is a bit more complex than the first one. The first one, keep lies from me, falsehoods away from me. Now, Lord, please keep me content that I would not have too much or I would not have too little. So let's be clear on this one. The scriptures often speak through images, right? Metaphors, allegories, saying something in which can mean something else, a spiritual meaning behind a physical, literal item, such as bread. We hear Jesus say the words, I am the bread of life, which he gives life as food gives life. But Jesus is a person. He's not a loaf, right? He uses these images, these allegories for us to have a deeper understanding in our meaning. Here, specifically, Eggers is actually speaking literally. Oh, Lord, my economic state, I don't want it to be too much. I don't want it to be too little. When he speaks of my daily bread, he is physically speaking about bread, food, and meals. Actually, just like Jesus did in his prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Lord, give us today our daily bread. The Greek literal translation is, give tomorrow's bread to me then. I have what I have for today. Please hold off for what I need tomorrow until tomorrow. And here, Eggers is a literal prayer of provision. God, please only give me what I need today and keep me from what I am wanting for tomorrow until tomorrow comes, that I may then receive your provisions. You know those little daily bread devotionals? They're out in the lobby there. I think they're wonderful. I think they're lovely. That is the allegory of bread being something more spiritual. Remember, this is literal in which that he is praying about. How often are our prayers literal provision prayers? Pretty often. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I need. But how often are those prayers of literal provisions in need daily? Lord, only give me what I need for this day. Lord, may I depend more on you tomorrow and only depend for what I need now in this moment. today. And for those Bible scholars in the room, for the Sunday school teachers in the room, for the avid scripture readers, this daily bread comes from somewhere. Does anybody know where we first hear, read about daily provisions of bread? Manna, thank you, found in the book of Exodus. I heard a couple Exodus in there. That's right, with Moses and the Israelites. God provided for his people day in and day out with manna. With bread. Can I read Exodus 16 for you? It says this. The Lord said to Moses, I am going to send you food from heaven like rain. Each day the people should go out and gather only what they need for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether or not they will follow my instructions. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each of you should gather as much as you can eat. Take 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So that is what the Israelites did. Some gathered more, some less. They measured into 2-quart containers. Those who had gathered more didn't have too much. Those who had gathered less didn't have too little. They gathered as much as they could eat. Not too much, not too little, but what is provision and enough for that day. And they were satisfied. So yes, the Lord brought provision, but through that provision, through that act of grace, he also tested them. He tested their hearts. Yes, I will fill your bellies, but I also want to test your hearts. Do you have faith that I will provide for you tomorrow as I do so today? Or will you worry? And through that worry, then pick up more than what you actually need. And for those who know the story, if they picked up more than what they actually need, what happened? It rotted. It spoiled. It would go bad. They would try to collect extra, and it would spoil. Except before the Sabbath, they could collect 2 days' worth, and through God's divine ability, that Sabbath meal would stay and would not spoil. Oh, I love it. It's such a beautiful story. God's provision of daily bread, filling our bellies and testing our hearts, that he is the one in whom that we can depend on. Agur's prayer in verse 9. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Without that trust, we can lean towards the dangers of disowning or dishonoring. Too much or too little. Often with the increase, the danger of riches, we disown the Lord, often with increase, also can increase pride, also can increase a self-sufficiency. I've got this. I can handle this. I'm good. And we can then, in our hearts, pull away of that dependency that we have on our Lord. Agur has the wisdom to understand that wealth might lead him to disown the Lord. Scripture is littered with warnings about this danger. Danger, 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 warning, warning, warning. Deuteronomy 8, Moses cautioned the Israelites before entering the promised land. Don't say, I became wealthy because of my own ability and strength, but remember the Lord your God is the one who makes you wealthy as they make their way into the promised land. And Psalm 62, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Ecclesiastes 5, Solomon says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. And Christ himself said in Matthew 5, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The Lord knows that money can change our heart. And our longing and our desire for more, that constant need of more and of greed changes our heart. He wants to provide for us and fill us with our needs so that we may be satisfied, but at a rate in which that will not turn our heart from him. O Lord, protect us of the foolishness that is self-sufficiency and that we would depend on you daily. There's also the danger of poverty. Agur does not want to dishonor the Lord by stealing, which would be against one of his commandments. Not to steal, I do not want to break the law, but I understand that desperate circumstances can cause people to look to the allure of sin and temptation to steal and therefore dishonor God. Oh, the frailty that is mankind. Aware that poverty can push a person to decisions that they would never want to make. To dishonor the Lord and break his commandment. So in humility, Agur's wisdom comes through as he acknowledges his weakness. I do not fully understand. I need you, Lord. I need these from you. So this is a prayer of contentment, but again, this is also a prayer of protection. That I want to be under your protection, under your care, under your security, in your fold, around, hidden within your gates, that you would lead and guide and protect me always. We really can learn quite a bit about Agur in just a few short passages. He asks wonderful questions as he writes out this prayer. And I'm challenged that we too need to ask wonderful questions, good, solid questions of who God is, good, solid questions of who we are, and to allow truth that we find in this book to lead and guide those questions, not the half-truths in which our world speak to us. Who am I? This is what Scripture says. Who is the Lord? This is what Scripture says. And I submit myself into the protection of what is his word. Before I conclude here, I want to just give a quick comment about the daily bread, physical, literal. Please don't think that I'm against freezers or pantries or fridges, okay? I'm not. I have them myself. And I think we can be really good stewards of our resources and our finances if we're not going to a grocery store every single day to pick up food just for that day. Okay? I hope you understand that. So now, not on the physical side, but on the spiritual side, I do want to throw caution into the wind that we don't pack a day full of our scripture reading like we would go to a grocery store. And read and pray for a day, and then neglect it for another 7 days until we go back to that day again. That spiritually, as we look to the Lord, it is a daily dependency on the Lord. We don't store up a wonderful moment and shove it into a pantry and wait. But no, we are actually day in and day out saying, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, guide me. Oh, Lord, keep falsehoods away from me. Oh, Lord, let truth be the one who leads and guides me. Oh, Lord, I don't want too much. I just want what I need for today. Keep greed away from me. Oh, Lord, not too little, please, that I may then dishonor you and sin. Lord, I need you. What wisdom we see in his prayer. Wisdom reveals that daily dependency on the Lord will keep a heart from spoiling. Can I read that again? Wisdom reveals that daily dependency on the Lord will keep a heart from spoiling. I believe the band is coming back on up after this, so you guys can come on back up, and I'd like to finish with just a quick little conclusion and application for you. For 8 years, I spoke at a Bible college, and it was always application to these students. And so application is just within me always that I want to share before I leave. Students of mine would always be in their classes, so they would learn lots about theology and doctrine and theory, but we need to actually apply to what we hear as well, and I think this is a really good sermon to also find the application to. And so the application is this, that we are to seek godly character in everything, in our relationships with our spouse, relationships with our children, relationships with our family, personally and professionally, that we would be men and women of integrity, that God's character would lead and guide us, that we would follow suit and live and act as though Christ lived and acted, So professionally, in our business transactions, in our day-in and day-out conversations with employees or employers, that we are men and women of integrity, that we are salt and light to this world and showing the example of our Lord in the conversations that we have, that we would speak truths and not half-truths, that we would not share misinformation, but that we would share love. Knowing that integrity honors God and builds trust with others. As well, to pursue contentment, that daily provision for the Lord. And as I was saying, this has been a season of great challenge and great blessings for Rebecca and I and our family, as this is what we are pursuing, is contentment. And I've learned it before, but the Lord likes to reteach things over and over again. I have learned that the Lord's blessings often come along with his challenges. He gives both at the same time. Both he gives us. Here's the food, but only take what you need for the day, both blessing and challenge together. And so to pursue contentment in a culture that often promotes more is better, Agur's prayer challenges us to be content with what God provides. Doesn't mean we try to improve our situations, but we guard ourselves from greed of this world and that our hearts would be content. And then trusting in God's provision. Trusting in where he has you. Trusting in where he is leading you. Trusting that he is the one who provides your daily needs. It's reliance. It's protection. It's shelter. It's the Lord leading you. So the key to that is anchoring your soul daily with the Lord and his truths and his words. Can we pray together? Lord, we approach you as Agur did, declaring that we are only human and desperately in need of a Savior, desperately in need of the truth in our lives. We who have limited understandings, we understand, Lord, in this moment, that we don't know it all, that we don't have it all, and that we are in a constant refining process with you. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you also sanctify us, that through your Holy Spirit who is present and with us, you are renewing us and sanctifying us. You have made us new and are continually doing so. We thank you, Lord, for that. It is not of our own doing, but it is of you. And so, Lord, we continue to seek to live a life that honors you, to live in a life of integrity and character, to live a life of contentment, understanding that you are a God who has provided for our lives and that you have plans of provisions to come. And so we trust in them, we accept them. And, Lord, we receive this blessing and understand that it is a challenge as well. And in that challenge, we will continue to pursue you and trust in you for your provisions for our lives. I pray this personally. I pray this over this church family as well, over its leadership with Pastor Joe and Pastor Kaylee. We thank you, Lord, for their love and their leadership for this church. May you bless their ministry here as well. In your name, amen.